Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Great to be with you all again for a Sunday night. It's great to be back on Sunday nights, and I say this every time, but there's a different feeling on Sunday night, and especially exciting to have a baptism night. Thank you, Willow and Riley, for letting us join in on such an exciting occasion for you both, and we're very much looking forward to getting into that later. And tonight, I want to ask you a question, and that is, have you ever done something wrong and experienced or thought that a greater punishment or thought that something was worse than actually ended up happening was going to come? Have you ever done something and you've expected a greater punishment from that thing? And I personally, I'm not a rebellious person. In fact, Holly and I often debate who is more rebellious, the more rebellious one, because if we're being real, we're both pretty much goody two-shoes, aren't we? I never had a detention in school, and I haven't been fired, not yet, or been in serious trouble. However, I have had a couple of scares, and perhaps this story proves how much of a rule follower I am. I was on the train to uni one day, and I left my wallet at work, and so my concession card was in my wallet, but thankfully I had a MyKey to get on the train, but it was a concession MyKey. And of course, on that day, the ticket inspector comes by, and what do you do when you see that? You pretend to fall asleep, and you put your headphones in and hope that he doesn't call you out, but he did. And he didn't fall for it when I said, here's my my key. He said, now where's your concession card? And I didn't have it, and I started panicking because, as I said, I'm not a rebellious person, so I got the sweats. And I told him the truth. I said, I left my wallet at work, and I'll run it to the police station. Just please don't put me in prison for 10 years. I won't do it again. And for some reason, he just let me off the hook, and I felt like I'd gotten away with murder. I was forever indebted to this man, and I felt so relieved, but I also had this sense of determination at that point to prove the guy right, because he took a chance on me. He took a chance that I was telling the truth. He knew nothing about me. And so the next day, I actually happened to see him on my station, and so I ran up to him and in the attempt to show him my concession card, and he didn't even recognize who I was. He couldn't remember it. He couldn't even care, and to be honest, I was a little bit disappointed, as I thought he'd made a special consideration, but turns out he just didn't care about his job. On this day, I deserved punishment. I was on the train for a concession price without a concession card, and yet this inspector, for one reason or another, was able to show mercy towards me in this moment. And I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like this yourself, where you know that you fully deserved a punishment and someone was just overlooking your mistake and showing mercy towards you. Those moments, they stick with you. And those people that show you mercy, I don't know about you, but they stick with me as someone that displayed mercy towards me. And tonight, I felt really strongly to share on the heart of mercy, God's heart of mercy for his people. And I actually believe that God has some business to do in people's lives tonight. And it was a really strong impression that he gave me to share from this tonight. Some of you might be sitting there and you've heard about the mercy of God, but there's still that question floating around your head. Yeah, but is there enough mercy for me? Does God really want to show mercy to me after where I've been, after what I've done? Well, tonight God's mercy is knocking at your door. Many of you would know that our theme is Heart of God, as we can see on the screens there this year. And we're unpacking many different aspects of God's heart. And when it comes to God's heart, it's important to recognize and remember that it never changes. I've heard the thought pattern that there's this shift from the Old Testament to the New Testament, where in the Old Testament, God was to be feared, and he was a judgmental God and a God of justice. And then Jesus came, and all of a sudden, he was a God of mercy and of grace. But the Bible is clear in saying that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And tonight, I actually want to refer to God's mercy in some of the Old Testament and apply that to where we are today. In Psalm 33, verse 11, it says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." And in looking at the Bible in its entirety, we see God's mercy displayed continuously through creation to the Israelites' journey in the Old Testament to where we are today. We see that God's heart for us and his people has been to display mercy from beginning to end. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for tonight. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to come together in this place and just allow your Holy Spirit to move, allow your truth to be spoken, as we've already sung about tonight. And Father God, we open up our hearts, Father God, to your word, to your truth, to your mercy tonight. Father God, we just pray that you would reveal more of your heart to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you turn with me to chapter 9, verse 9 to 13, if you've got your Bibles or your phones. We're going to read an encounter from a guy called Matthew from Jesus, and this is where it goes. In verse 9, it says, "As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. 'Follow me,' he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners.'" I desire mercy, not sacrifice. God desires to give us mercy rather than for us to try and earn it ourselves. One thing about me is I don't like taking medication. Even when I'm really sick, I refuse to have Panadol or vitamin C, and Holly actually has to force me to have it because in my mind, my body gets stronger the harder the sickness is. Yeah, no one else agrees with me. Anyone else think that? Couple of people. I feel like if I can get through this, then I'll be stronger for it at the end of it. So I just choose not to take any medication. It's probably a pretty dumb theory. But in life, even when it comes to our faith, we can try to get by on our own and believe that we can earn and receive and even earn God's mercy. But God knows that in our strength, we will never add up. So he calls for a shift in our perspective, a shift from a self-professed righteousness through what we've done and what we're capable of, to righteousness through what Jesus did and what he has done. Better the sick that know they are sick than the sick that think they are well. And we see in this passage in Jesus' mercy on Matthew at this time that led him to repentance. Matthew, a tax collector, that led him to be a disciple of Jesus. And Jesus came to earth and illustrated the desire of God's heart to reach out with mercy to the sinners and then come to him. And not only that, but live a life sold out for God. And we see that at work in Matthew's response as one of Jesus' disciples. So if God's heart is to display mercy, tonight I want to unpack and understand some attributes of God that illustrates his grand mercy. To put ourselves in Matthew's shoes and consider how we can allow that mercy to help shape the way in which we live our lives. And so in researching, I found three Hebrew terms that mercy was often derived from in the Old Testament. And these words would either lead into God's mercy or be used to directly describe the mercy of God. And the first word is chesed. Everyone say chesed. Chesed. You can do it. You don't be afraid to spit on anyone because you've got masks on. So it's not going to... Chesed. Not chesed, but chesed. I clearly can't do it. I'm lucky I'm not Hebrew. I'm going to say chesed from now on so it's not a distraction. But it is used in the Old Testament nearly 250 times and is a big word to explain. But put plainly, it refers to a steadfast loyalty and absolute loving kindness. A biblical scholar, John Oswalt, described chesed as completely undeserved kindness and generosity granted by one who is in a position of ultimate power. Therefore, a form of love and mercy that can only be displayed by our God. And when I think about this chesed mercy, I think about God's hand of persistent faithfulness over the Israelite people throughout the Old Testament, despite their continual waywardness and faithlessness towards him. And if we turn to Exodus 33, God is revealing a new covenant to Moses for the Israelite people. He's recently freed them from Egypt, providing for their needs and continuing to be with them despite this rebellion and lack of gratitude towards him. A clear example of his mercy. But then in Exodus 33, verse 18, Moses and God are having this conversation, and Moses asks him to show him his glory,
to show Moses God's glory. And this is the response of God in Exodus 33, verse 19 to 23. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. What a picture this gives us of an almighty God. You know, I think the first step to getting closer to grasping the mercy of God is understanding the magnitude and the power of who he is. This word, hesed, describes mercy from a position of ultimate power. Now, Dad was talking about a traumatic experience he had with a bird one time, and if you're a little squeamish around animals, just block your ears for a second. But one day he found this bird, and it was half dead on the ground, and it was really clearly in pain to the point where he wanted to put it out of its misery. And so he picked it up and he thought the quickest way was to break its neck. But in doing so, he actually snapped its head off. And so he was left with this body in one hand and this head in the other. And it was still like wiggling around. And then he was very traumatized from it. Isn't that? I told you, Claudia, to block your ears if you were squeamish. Thank goodness God isn't quite as reckless as Dad. This is going to stick in your mind, you won't. But you think about the position of power as humans in holding this bird in your hand. You have so much power, particularly when it's broken in this time. You have the power to do whatever you want with it. And in the same way, it's God can hold the world in this same way. Thank goodness God isn't as reckless as that. That He could choose to break the world's neck at any second, but instead, through loving kindness, he displays mercy and care for us to nurture us back to health, to have his hand of mercy upon us at every moment. And so the first point in understanding the breadth of God's mercy tonight is recognizing the magnitude of who God is and what he can do. Because when we realize that, we can fully praise him for the mercy that we do not deserve. And as we read on in Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7, we see this word hesed appear. In the Amplified Version, it says in verse 6 and 7, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in this hesed, loving kindness and truth, keeping mercy and loving kindness, hesed again, for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. But he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And as I mentioned earlier, God, he does not change. And the fact that he is merciful, loving and kind doesn't erase from the fact that he is also to be revered and to be feared. And I think this passage gives us a really good, clear picture of that line between mercy and justice. And it'd be nice and comfortable to read verse 6 and then close the book and just leave verse 7 behind. But actually, it's still an important concept that we cannot neglect as followers of God. And Chris Nelson, actually in our staff devotion this week, she spoke about this fine line between God's mercy and grace and his judgment of sin. And we need to be careful that we don't get lost in the incredible gift that is God's mercy by taking it for granted and forgetting that God is a holy God that cannot tolerate sin. And so as we read in Matthew, our Father who desires to show mercy to us rather than sacrifice, he actually sacrificed his son Jesus for the purpose of relieving us of the debt of sin, but not to excuse us to live how we please. And a truth that we need to consider that I think we can intentionally dismiss sometimes, that yes, God's love for us is unconditional, but the outworkings of his mercy is still conditional. Conditional to our response. By thinking that we are worthy, by living in sin to satisfy our fleshly desires, it ultimately leads to punishment. And we see that in the life of the Israelites. We see them take advantage of this mercy by their complaining, by their worship of other gods, by their sinful lifestyle. And we see through following the journey, the outworkings of that and their actions leads to destruction. Not because God's mercy wasn't there for them, but because they chose not to honor it with their response. See, if we choose to dismiss the power and the to-be-feared aspect of God because we think there is limitless mercy despite our actions, then we end up losing our way. And so the second point to mercy tonight is God's mercy is not to be taken for granted. And as we come back to this word, hesed, God from the position of an all-powerful Lord, he chooses to have a steadfast loving kindness, mercy towards us, but we still need to accept it and live in it if we want it to be outworked in our lives. And the second word to speak into God's mercy tonight is rachamim. Everyone say rachamim. Good job. Pretty good. A lot of rachamim is in the Bible as well. And it describes the maternal connection. A maternal connection. I want to show a video for a second of this guy who had a maternal connection. I wonder if you can relate.
I'll keep him.
Why?
Good.
You can't keep him.
Why?
You got to throw him back.
Why? I want to keep him.
Anyone been like that with the fish that they've caught? You just want to keep him? Or perhaps with that burger that you're eating that you're loving this burger and it's the last bite and you're like, I just want to keep him. That's me. Clearly, I don't have any children. But I do have a dog and a cat, and hopefully my children never turn out like them. But I can't really speak to that maternal connection because I haven't had a child yet. But I am around an abundance right now, and you might be the same. I am around an abundance of COVID babies. I've even had nieces and nephews, and they're coming out people's ears at the moment. But there's some things I just don't get that Holly seems to get all the time. Like, holding a baby, for me, it's great and it's nice, but then after a little bit, it's like, cool, what's next? But when Holly holds it, it's like it's the only thing in the world, and she could be there for days, no food, no water, nothing. She could just be holding this baby and she would be fine. She would love it. And then there's apparently this baby smell, which I've never smelt. Is that a guy thing, that you can't smell this baby smell, or is that just something that women have made up? Any guys be able to smell the baby smell? No one. See, I think it's just made up. Apparently, it's life-changing. Either way, when you see a mum in action, it is an incredible illustration of a maternal connection with their child. And I mustn't be the only one that gets daggers when you are holding that child from the mum, and they're looking at you like you're trying to spin it on your finger like a basketball, or do a trick, or chuck it up and down, when really you're sitting down, two hands, and if you drop it, it's on your lap anyway. But they can't take their eyes off you because they're so caught up in this baby. And this incredible care, adoration, love, and connection that a mother has for their child is the same maternal connection that our God has for us. And as I aim to paint a bit of a picture tonight of God's heart of mercy, I want us to consider that first aspect of God being our all-powerful Lord, Lord of the world, combined with this fatherly, maternal love and connection to each one of us individually. What an incredible thought. That God's mercy doesn't just come out of some generic sympathy, but his mercy is out of a bond and connection that he has actually created between you and him, between God and I. He looks at us and longs to protect us. And just like a mother and a child, his eyes are always on us, waiting and desiring to give us mercy and continue in relationship with us. There was once a story of a young father and his son. And the father loved his son and would do everything and anything for him. And his son grew up loving his dad, so much so that all he wanted to do was make his dad proud. So he worked hard for his dad. He got smart. He got a job overseas. He spent a long time over there until he was content with the fortune that he had made. And he came back home, and by this stage, his dad, he was an old man, and he bought his dad a house, and he showed him all that he had accomplished. And his dad, although appreciative, he was disappointed. See, the father wanted to see the son happy and successful, but to him, the most important part was being able to journey with him in relationship. The purpose of God's fatherly mercy upon us is to open the door for relationship with him. Back in Exodus 34, verse 6, the word rachem is used to represent the love of God for his people, a love that is tied to a deep feeling. So God is moved to mercy for us by his deep-seated emotion tied to the connection that he has with us. Psalm 103, verse 13 says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion on those who fear him." We can take comfort in the fact tonight that no matter our earthly circumstances, our earthly parents, our earthly father, we have a father that loves us with this rachem-style maternal connection love, wanting to show mercy and compassion to us individually. So the third point tonight, God's mercy stems from a personal maternal connection with you. The third and the final Hebrew word for tonight linked to God's mercy is a word called kanan. I wasn't going to do it, but just kanan. You can't say it without it. I'm going to say canon from now on. In short, it means gracious and generous. Gracious and generous. You know, anyone else relate to this photo growing up? We grab that photo up. There it is. A trust between brother and sister. Anyone relate to that? I was very much that kid growing up. When it comes to food, I don't know if gracious and generous are the first things that come to my mind. When I lived with my parents, I got myself a reputation for putting the food up the top of the pantry so no one else could find it, and then getting it and eating it myself. Or you know when someone's coming over to you and you know that they want some of your food, so you like lick it or you sneeze on it so that they definitely can't have it. That's just a me thing, isn't it? No one else. I actually put in my wedding vows that I had to share food and my food with Holly. I said, I'll be willing to do that because it means so much to me. It's my biggest regret in life. She reminds it to me all the time. But you know, we can look to God's mercy like we look to food as a finite source, or like I look to food as a finite source, as something that there is only a certain amount of. It's me or it's him getting saved. It's if I go the rest of my life without sinning, then there might be some mercy left for me. But at this point, I'm on my last leg. And it's human nature to believe that we get what we earn. But it's God nature to say you get what you accept from my mercy and from my love. This canon, God's mercy is full of graciousness, overflowing with generosity. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." There is all sufficiency and abundance in the knowledge that we are under God's grace. And from that, we see that we can abound in every good work. And we see the enemy at work when we see people being robbed by the lie that there is not enough grace or not enough mercy for them. And as I said at the start, God put this word on my heart for people here tonight who need a reminder of God's hand of mercy upon them. God's mercy extends to you tonight. And my fourth point is that God's mercy is not limited by our past. The single greatest way that God could display his mercy to us was on the cross. For God so loved the world, for God had so much mercy for the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And we are called to see the power of the cross for what it is. A powerful cross. To not make a mockery of the cross by minimizing its power. To not see our sin as greater than God's power and his cross and abundant mercy. And I felt really strongly tonight that some people need to stop giving more credit to their sin than it deserves. To stop giving more credit to the enemy than he deserves. God has won your victory. And should you choose to draw near to him, he is waiting with open arms. Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 to 13 again, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." We see it time and time and time and time again in the Bible that God's mercy is not just displayed in a parable or a story, but God's mercy is at the center of the overarching story between God and his people from the beginning of time to where we are now. And he wants it to sink in to our hearts tonight. So I want to pause for a moment and I want to pray for some people. So if we all just close our eyes for a second. If you've been struggling to believe God's mercy is still upon you, if you believe that perhaps your sin or your past has disqualified you from your relationship with God or even your eternal future, and you feel like you need to respond to God's mercy tonight, I just want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. If you feel like you need to respond to God's mercy tonight, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your everlasting mercy. Lord God, we thank you for your heart and the way in which your heart reaches out for us. We thank you that you have that fatherly love, that maternal connection with each one of us. You see our steps, you see our past, you see our journey, and Lord God, you see our hearts right now. And Father God, we just pray your mercy would fall afresh on each of us tonight. That, Lord God, your peace would fall afresh on each of us tonight, knowing that we are a child of yours. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we witness Willow and Riley's baptisms tonight, and we hear their powerful testimonies in a moment, I'm sure they would openly admit that they are not at this point being baptized because they've finally earned the right to be. But they are recognizing this incredible, powerful, loyal, maternal, gracious, generous mercy of our Savior. And out of this recognition, they are not just accepting it for themselves, but they are walking in it by declaring their faith tonight. And my fifth and final point to God's heart for mercy tonight is God's mercy calls us into action. And for all of us tonight, there are two challenges to walk away with after hearing this message on God's mercy. Firstly, to recognize it. To recognize it every day, because I know myself, I fall short of this, to wake up and to fully recognize God's mercy, to pray to him, fully recognizing God's mercy and who he is, everything that makes him God, everything that he has done, and the part in God's story that we get to play here on earth. Recognizing it. And the second point is to allow it to shape the way we live. When we truly grasp all that I've spoken about tonight, when we truly grasp the mercy of God for us personally, it will motivate us to live surrendered to him. I'd like to invite the band just up quickly. We're just going to sing the chorus and the bridge, because we sung this song, Heart of God, tonight, and the words speak so perfectly into this. The chorus says, your mercy triumphs over judgment. Love wider than horizons, stronger than all sin. Lord, your kindness leads us to repentance. You think of Matthew and his response. Jesus' kindness led him to repentance and to the heart of God. And then this here is our response, the bridge. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. This is how we accept God's mercy and then see it outworked in our life. What does that look like for you? What does living in God's presence daily involve for you? Do we need to recognize the magnitude of God's mercy again and allow that perspective to shift? Our prayer life to shift? Are we missing the point of mercy and taking it for granted and therefore not seeing it outworked? The incredible nature of God's mercy and kindness, it leads us to repentance, leads us into his presence. I want to close with this passage in 1 Peter 1 verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. My prayer tonight is that every one of us would recognize the mercy of God upon your salvation firstly, and then as we live in it, we would see the incredible blessing and fruitfulness on the steps that we take in life and into eternity.